CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, yesterday there was a dude who tweeted us from the Okavango Delta in Botswana, where he was listening. From the Okavango, the middle of this wilderness. Isn't that cool? Streaming our shows. And that's what you could do from pretty much anywhere. Good morning. It is budget day. So it's Pravin Gordhan's big day. What's all this noise? Oh, Flax's microphone was on. Have you heard what it sounds like in your... It sounds like a wind tunnel in your little room there.
How do I fix it?
I don't know. Is your air conditioning on?
Well, yeah.
Okay,
but there's only two settings for it. It's either Arctic or hell.
Yeah, that's... Sorry. Do you switch it on for a while and switch it off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It legit has no climate control.
What's happening? Flax, what are you up to? How's your girlfriend? Yeah, what's going on in your life?
So listen
to this.
Give
us an update.
Listen shit this is.
Yeah, you're moving into house scenario. What's going on there?
Okay, wind tunnels off. So we signed the lease.
Yeah.
Paid the deposit.
Yeah.
Then 2 days later, the bastard phones us. Listen, I promised the property to somebody else first.
Oh, you're kidding me. But you've signed a lease. You
exactly.
Can take him, you can sue him.
And he goes, they signed their lease and got their deposit in first, and now they're threatening legal action even though I wanted to give it to you guys. So now I don't have a place anymore.
No. That's his problem, not yours. If you've got a signed lease from him, he signed it.
He signed it. We signed it. Deposit paid.
It's done, dude.
But if they did it first, then why is he taking your deposit anyway if he's already got a deposit for
Sounds
a place?
Sounds like a shyster.
Because he said he wanted to...
Who's your landlord? Radovan Krejcer?
No, he said he wanted to give it to us instead because we seem nicer.
Well, he can't do... What is this, idols judge?
Well, I'll tell you what, the third person to give him a deposit will be even nicer in his eyes.
Yeah. What if the next person to give him is Mary Poppins? And give her the flat?
Well, now I'm still looking.
Oh,
but
dude,
you got your deposit back, right?
I hope so.
Ooh.
We told him to transfer it back. So we'll have to see today if he did.
Ooh.
But if he didn't, then that's the biggest scam artist to hit Joburg.
Well, listen, you better check this out carefully. You never know. There are a lot of dodgy people.
But I'm going surfing on Saturday. How cool is that?
Surfing where?
Durban Beach. I'm scared of sharks, though.
You travel around, dude.
I want to be labeled what's it called? When you travel a lot?
Jet setter.
Yeah, but you don't want to be labeled anything, right, Sia? Rather be called a jet setter.
Well, called a jet setter.
Be labeled something is a totally different thing.
And then if I go to Durban enough, then I can start saying I'm repping the Bay Area.
That's not
no one from Durban calls themselves. But no one from Durban says I'm repping the Bay Area.
No,
that's PE people, Michael.
Yeah.
But when I start, they'll follow.
You think?
Okay. Trendsetter.
All right.
Oh, I just think of smelly armpits.
What, repping the Bay Area?
Bay Area. It's just smelly armpits, long hair, and your skin peeling from being in the sun.
Right. Yeah, me too. That's what I see.
It's not a good thing. Not classy.
What a beautiful way to wake up in the morning, Gareth, says just me this morning. I don't know what you're referring to. Maybe our David Attenborough. You know, we start the show with something wacky that we haven't played for a long time, and then I find old material. We've got so much stuff. You know, I try to keep a catalogue of all our material that we've got here, and it's just impossible to keep up. By the way, if you didn't listen to Sipping Tea yesterday, this has got to be one of the best shows I've ever heard. Mubs, you two were on fire yesterday. There was... you guys went from the situation on university campuses to adopting kids of another race to relationships to bitches be back. You jumped around. You covered everything you need to know in an hour about everything.
I have very quickly figured out the secret is to get Dumi to rant about something because that is where she shines.
Yes.
Because she will very quickly... She will treat you like a piece of clothing. She will dunk you in water. She will wring you out and she will hang you out to dry and she will put you in the place that you belong.
That was a brilliant show. I mean, I could stop the show at any point and play that piece for you and you would be entertained. It's that good. In fact, I would say that this should be recommended. If you've never downloaded any other shows except the one you're listening to right now, you're missing this, because this sipping tea yesterday at 11 a.m. was unreal. Unreal. I mean, it says on the the little synopsis of the show, universities in our country have turned into war zones, blah, blah, blah. So it sounds very serious, but you know this show is everything.
This is Cliff Central.
I'm just going to stop it at some random place. Watch this. Let's just stop here.
Oh, Nkosiyam. Tumisha on WeChat says, the born frees were sheltered from the system all their lives, and now they're expected to adapt to the system that they don't understand.
That and in and of itself confuses me. What does that mean?
I think it's alluding to the fact that it was this Rainbow Nation bullshit that was fed. And then when they suddenly...
In this country, it's the haves and the have-nots. Then this country will move forward. Look at those students now. Let's go and do some research on where these kids are fighting. You'll find those white kids in the Free State who are fighting were not wearing shoes.
I mean, every 5 seconds is fantastic. Oh, man, there's some good stuff going on at the moment. Well, I drove past Tux yesterday because I had an appointment in Pretoria. There was nothing going on. It was quiet. It was chilled. You know what happens? And, you know, I got a call last night. Mabs, you know Lindell, right?
Mm.
Lindell and her husband, who's Serbian. Lindell's colored from PE. He's from Serbia, and he's white, obviously. And these two have got the funniest relationship. I mean, I love them both. They're awesome. But I got a call from them last night. They're both really worried about things. They're like, oh, what are we going to do? Do we want to raise our kids in this country? What the hell's going on? I don't know why they called me. Maybe I was the last ditch. You know, there's just nothing. No one else they can go. You're our last hope, Obi-Wan. So I found myself for about half an hour talking these two out of the idea of leaving South Africa. And I think this is a conversation a lot of people are going through at the moment, because everyone's getting wrapped up. Now, let me tell you something. Today's budget day. There are lots of important things for us to talk about. But I want to start with something that I feel we all need to address. Number one, social media is not reality. If you watch the Twitter timeline and you follow a bunch of crazies on Twitter, and there are a lot of those, especially in the last year, they've all come from the News 24 comment section, from all these other places that we've chased them out of, we've herded them out of, we've said, ay, ay, footsack, we've pushed them out of our shitty areas, and now they're on Twitter. And they form a substantial power base on Twitter, but they're not really powerful or influential people off Twitter. Off Twitter, you probably walk past them in the street and you'd think, wow, that person looks like they don't have a job, because they don't. That's why they're on Twitter the whole time. First things first, do not think Twitter is the real world. And don't think that all these Fanon scholars on Twitter are real scholars. These are not people. These are hotheads. That's the first thing. All right? So ignore social media. Your life will already be better. I'm serious. I know that it's a way for us to get information. It's a way for us to talk to each other. There are lots of positive things going on here, but there's also a lot of negative. So the first thing I would suggest is, if you're going to stay on social media, follow a couple of credible people and mute anybody who's talking activist shit that doesn't matter to the world, that isn't going to change anything. Because really and truly, it's a lot of noise. Okay, we got that. Number one, Twitter is not the real world. Number two, university campuses are always the most incendiary places. They always have been. They always will be. There were student protests when I was at university.
Sorry, guys. Can you use smaller words? Incendiary. Just want to.
It's flammable. Okay. It's a potentially
volatile,
ignitive, volatile place. Right.
Gotcha.
It makes sense, because as a student, you're just coming into your own as an adult. The transition from being a child to being an adult, you're feeling bold and courageous. Nothing scares you.
Right.
You're drunk or high most of the time.
Yeah. There we go.
And let me read this to you quickly, because there are a lot of people talking. And this one friend of mine is a school teacher. So she said, watching these protests, and I thought this was quite a useful thing to take note of, because a lot of us get very, very confused. She said, you know what? And she's taught a lot of these kids who are now at varsity for the first time this year. She said, you may think this is a big deal, but she said, getting swept up in university riots and demonstration is as normal as anything at that age. They're just 20-year-olds. This is them trying to find meaning and identity.
And also remember that it happens almost everywhere in the world.
Correct. And she says, as soon as these people get pissed, they're at a party or a rave, they all get along again. And we have interracial relationships and everybody stops being stupid. But this is the way for them to kind of feel like things are going on campus. It's boring a lot of time. You know, you go to classes and you have to pass exams and it's a serious business. And the economy's not great at the moment, so everybody's worrying about their back pocket. And this is a way to distract yourself from that. So please, number one, Twitter's not the real world. Number two, students are not everybody. And if students are fighting with each other, which they do, they always have throughout history, university campuses are the places where these things happen. And they should be. But there's got to be some value added. So don't start thinking, oh, you know, because we do that in this country. Every time anything goes wrong, Nkandla, Nene fired. Oh, the toilet's country's going down the toilet. Toilet's going down the country. Just calm down. Everybody stop panicking. This is not the moment that you have to go, oh, we've got to move to Canada.
This is why I said yesterday on Sipping Tea, I said, Dumi, we need a public holiday where we get together as a nation. Right. We all light a joint.
I heard you,
and
yeah.
And we get high.
Great
for
idea.
For a day.
Great idea. Just goes to show the wrong people are in charge of this country right there. That idea.
Well, no one's in charge. I got bad news for you. If you're looking for leaders, you are the leader that you don't have. Do you understand?
I am the leader that I don't have.
You're the leader you're looking for. You're searching for a lot of people in this country. We've got to remember, we've got a very broken society in a lot of ways. There's apartheid.
Uh-huh.
There's families that are child-headed households where the parents are both dead. The grandparents have tried to raise the kids. Or the grandparents are also dead and the kids are raising the kids. There are a lot of people who grew up without positive parental influence.
Yeah.
That we have a huge problem with male aggression in South Africa. We know that, right? We've got high levels of rape and violence. And it's men. It's broken men. And these broken men, the one thing every child wants is its father's approval and its mother's love. I'm not a psychologist, but that sounds about right to me. When you grow up as a kid, if your mom loves you and your dad approves of you unconditionally, you're going to grow up with positive feelings about yourself. If you don't have those things, you're going to grow up feeling constantly like you need to achieve those things. You need a father figure and you need his approval, and you need a mother figure and you need her love. And a lot of these students are also people who don't necessarily come from happy households, white and black. There's a lot of horrible nastiness going on in people's households. So we need to realize that we're dealing with sensitive psychology too. And a lot of this is just them play acting in an adult world where they're actually kids. And I don't mean to be patronizing. I was there too once. I completely understand that you want to be a part of something, especially when you felt like you were on the outside looking in for a long time. But this teacher friend of mine said these kids would sit next to each other in class, pass each other notes the whole time. They would play during break time. They got along. Now suddenly they're at university and it's black on white, or it's Afrikaans versus every other language. Nonsense. Calm down. Don't take it as seriously as they are. Because a campus is not a microcosm of society. In fact, it's a privileged place where you've got a whole lot of privileged people. I don't care whether you come from privilege or not. If you're at university, you're in the top 2% of this country's population. So you've got to get over yourself. Life is easier and better for you than it is for most South Africans, even if you're struggling to find accommodation and pay for your classes. Trust me, those are not big problems. There's some people who go to sleep at night without food in their bellies. There's some people whose kids play on the dusty streets of townships and are lucky that they don't get hit by cars or stolen by some member of the family and raped. There's a lot of really serious stuff going on. And if you're at varsity and your biggest challenge is that you are struggling to pay for textbooks, in the big scheme of things, you're still one of the luckiest people. Let's all calm down. Here are a couple of good points. Roman says people can expect that there won't be calm and consistency in life. The ebb and throw and flow, I suppose you mean, of democracy is messy, sometimes vapid, and mostly emotional. That's life. That's true. Kevin says, I need your opinion on this. I'm following this Afrikaans must fall protest, and I get angry when I see what the EFF wants to do. And now I feel like people will label me racist because I feel angry because of this. What do you think? You know what, Kevin? Get a hold of your emotions, because I don't care that you're angry and no one else does either. Calm down. If you want to make a difference, you have to be the calm person in the room. The angry people in the room ultimately either burn themselves out or get thrown out of the room. Calm down. Everybody needs to take a deep breath. The one guy who's steering this country in the right direction today is our finance minister. And what he has to say is way more important than how you feel. And I'm sorry to spoil your day if that's what you think, but how you feel is not as important as what Pravin says. Because what Pravin says affects everybody, and how you feel only affects you.
It's a big difference in numbers, that.
Kind of something to think about. Anyway, lots of other messages coming in, and we'll take those calls from you, 0861-555-189. We will take your tweets live from the cliffcentral.com app. We will also take your WeChat messages live on WeChat. It all pitches up in the studio on the screen in front of me. It's like you're sitting right here. I prefer calls because then I can hear what you sound like and we can make fun of you. But if you don't want to do that, that's okay too. Look at this. I mean, I love this. Who's this call, Flax? Adam. Do you want to go to Adam? I mean, we've built it up. We've got to go to Adam. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Gareth. How are you, bro?
What's up, dude?
Cool, man. Phoning from Dubai.
You what?
Phoning from Dubai, man.
Oh, Dubai. Oh, right. What's going on in Dubai? What's going on there?
Nothing much, but I just wanted to weigh in a little bit on this whole thing of what's happening back home. The universities and all these hashtag fucking things like this must fall and that must fall. Like, I am sitting here, bro, and we are plotting to come home big time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We are, like, plotting. There's so much negative. Yeah, 100%, bro. Like, there's so many. Why would you want to go back? Why would.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Adam, they got shit phone lines in Dubai. Say that again. There's so many people telling you, why would you want to go back?
Yeah, but like saying, you know, the economy is crashing, the president's shit. There's all the white people are not safe. And I'm just like, listen, that's bullshit. Like, if I could, we'll probably get on a plane tomorrow and I'll be home.
Yeah. Right.
And then everyone needs to just be able to work together and say, listen, fuck this. We had enough. And we're all going to work together now. Because, I mean, I saw so many of those photos yesterday of white folks and black girls and... And everyone just standing together, and the majority of people really want everything to work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our friends that live in the UK and Australia are so negative, like saying, yeah, that's why we've left, and, you know?
Sure.
And I tell you what, Dubai is not easy. It's, you know, we're lonely here, we miss our family. You know, maybe the money is good, but I mean, it's not life, eh?
No.
I'd rather go back to Saffoland.
Right.
And have a bit of a struggle and have a little bit of a debate with people. But still be able to go outside, stand in the sun, stand in the rain, you know, listen to the different languages, you know? Folks must just get over themselves, bro.
I'm so happy you said that. I'm so happy you said that because also people on the outside like you, because I mean, you're a South African, but you're looking at this country from Dubai. And you're objective. You know, we get swept up in the nonsense sometimes and we... You know, when there's a fight in your own house, you seem to think that nobody else's house has fights in it.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, some of the things that we are seeing are not nice to see.
No.
But it's just, you know, it's just a cycle and people get over themselves and people get older and they move on. You know, and things will get better. So, and I think once Mr. Zuma moves on, you know, there's definitely going to be a nice shift and things will slowly start, you know, getting itself back to normal again. Yeah. So there is hope, people. Don't worry. The South Africans overseas will come back home.
Well, the best thing you could possibly do is keep listening to cliffcentral.com because that's international and we are a lot more objective than every other shitty news organization.
Every single morning. I only miss you on Fridays because it's our weekend.
Okay, well, there we go. All right.
All right, guys.
All right. Hello, Akbar.
No, you get me into shit with that one.
Bye-bye.
All right, bro. Take it easy.
Cheers, Adam. Oh, wow. There we go. Some sense from Dubai. Yeah, well, spread the word, please. Let's all just chill. Hmm? Mub said it yesterday. I'm saying it today. You've got to stop letting your feelings get the better of you, particularly when those feelings are angry and violent. No matter who you are, if you're a student at a university or you're someone watching this and you get emotive about language or you get emotive about student rights or you get emotive about the cost of tuition or any of these very practical things, because we'll find a way. We've done it before. This is not the biggest challenge in South African history this year. Campuses, are you kidding me? We've had much bigger things to deal with, and we made it through those. And by the way, it's a process. There's never going to be a point that you're going to sit down with every other South African and go, okay, we've dealt with all our issues. It's never going to happen. Part of the process is living through it. And that's where we are right now. Okay, I needed to get that off my chest. I think a lot of people needed to get it off theirs. And after this call last night from Lindell and Milan, I was suddenly worried about things.
And aren't you glad that you are not Radovan Krejcer?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Life could be a whole lot worse, you know? I read this thing. I actually tweeted this out the other day. I don't know if this is true, but I follow this. There's this one thing on Twitter. It's a strange account. I think it's psychology or something. Anyway, there's this one thing. They had a picture of this dude who was born with another head attached.
Where was it attached?
No, it was just another head. So it was a person, and then there was another head attached to that person.
Oh, poor mother.
But, yeah, one body, two heads. That's right. I'm trying to find the picture because I know I put it on here. Here it is. It's called Unrevealed Secrets. That's the account. A boy born in 1783 had two heads, one on top of the other, with the second head upside down. So the neck stub was in the air. The second head had a fully functional brain and would whisper random stuff to the other brain.
Oh, that's creepy.
So you think you got problems? Life could be a whole lot harder. All right?
Imagine that happens nowadays and you give birth to that and you say to the mother, it's
No, well, this is the problem with today. We're running out of freaks. Because these days you get these scans and these amniocentesis and you get all these things that you could... There are no freaks left. How the hell am I going to find interesting people for our show? Freaks, we're running out of freaks. When we come back, Ben will give us the latest in the sport. We'll find out what's going on with Anthea and the markets. Today, of course, more than any day is important from the point of view of the markets because it's budget day. Maybe we'll finally see an uptick in the stock market. It's been... down, 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 with one or two days in between that have been up. And we need some good news there, if nothing else.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours. Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
I think we played that twice. All right, it's time to get into Ben's sport. Let us learn. Let us talk about things. There's lots of people who want to talk to you this morning too, Ben, in terms of messages. So let's go. Right?
Yeah, all righty. This football is the top sport for the midweek. Champions League last night, Juventus 2, Bayern Munich 2. Now, what happened here is that Bayern has got the best record against Juventus out of all the other teams when they play at Juventus. Mm-hmm. And they went there and they scored a goal either side of half-time, which basically means you're going to be in the pound seat the rest of the match.
Nice.
Juventus came back, though, and they did level the scores. So 2-2 it is. And now there's all these... Champions League games, of course, have a home and away leg. So now Juventus have to go away to Bayern. And Bayern's already got the two away goals. Now, these away goals are key. Barcelona got two of them last night against Arsenal. 2-0 win against the Gunners. And as Arsene Wenger rightly points out, they had 95% out of the tournament, really. Because, well, people kind of went to the Emirates Stadium last night to kind of see not so much a match, but more a team. Because Barcelona are just so good. They're now deep into the 30s of being unbeaten.
That's a way to put it. They went to watch a team, not a match.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you combine their strikers this season, they've scored kind of double what Arsenal have scored as a team.
Right.
That's the Suarez, Messi, and Neymar axis. So Messi with 2 goals last night, and it's a bit of a shame. I was really hoping for, at best, Arsenal could somehow scrape a draw, but no. They now have to go to Barcelona and score 3 goals, or win by 3 goals. Not going to happen. They might get 2 and then lose in penalties, but it's not going to happen. So Barcelona are going to go through there, and, well, Bayern Munich, they're looking pretty strong as well. Tonight there's Dynamo Kiev and Man City. They're taking to the field at 9:45, and then PSV Eindhoven take on Atletico Madrid, also at 9:45. There was local football as well last night in the PSL. Polokwane City frustrated Chiefs with a 1-1 draw. Locked at 1-1 at halftime. It was pretty much Chiefs versus Polokwane goalkeeper George Chigova after that. And the keeper was the man of the match. Because whatever Chiefs did, there was George. Just all arms, legs, and you're not scoring anything here. Which kind of dents Chiefs' title aspirations now, because they've played one more game. They're 7 points behind Sundowns, and it's going to take an absolute opfork, I think, ahead of them for anything to happen title-wise. But tonight we've got Free State Stars. They take on Ajax Cape Town. Both of those teams mid-table, so nothing really too important to watch there. But then Maritzburg United host Wits. Now, Wits have to keep winning, as we always keep saying. And currently 16th on the table means you are the worst team in the Premiership, and Wits will have to hopefully cash in on this. And at the same time, Sundown, the top team, will take on Black Aces, both those games at 7:30. So we'll see tomorrow. Is that gap going to stay 7 points, or is it going to get more and more narrow as we go along?
Right.
Staying with football, something I've been picking up on recently is how the leagues around the world are kind of doing, because we all gravitate towards the European leagues, right?
Uh-huh.
There's the big money, there's the big stars, and there's huge prestige in playing for those clubs. So next weekend, the MLS, which is the Major League Soccer Tournament, which is how the Yanks do it, going to the 21st season, but it still has this reputation of being like a retirement farm for old talent to go to. Because you've done everything in Europe, and now you just want to kind of ease into retirement.
And earn some dollars.
Earn some dollars, get a tan, maybe pick up some skirts. I mean,
sure.
Look, there's various ways that sportsmen go do these things.
Let your wife get into the fashion business over there.
Or just find another one, yeah. So Jürgen Klinsmann, who is the national coach of the American soccer team, he says to all his young talent, get into Europe. Go do what you can. Go get into the European team, because that's how you play against the best. Naturally, that's exactly what they should be doing. But it's at a huge expense of this league, because then there's no great talent. You're getting second stringers coming over because they just want to get employed. And then you've got these guys like Frank Lampard and all these other guys in their 30s, and then you've got the nobodies. So they need to kind of push the talent up. But you think, is it actually possible?
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Well, you think of all these other sort of minor leagues. And if you look again into Africa, what's stopping the African leagues from becoming really, really strong? It's because the best talent goes to Europe. It's just this exodus that's going to happen forever and ever. So it's always a bit frustrating to think that these other leagues are going to be fringe. You know, then you've got China on the other hand, who just have so much money, and they're bringing in these players, but they're kind of once-off players. So they'll get, Drogba played there for a while, and you've got huge amounts of money. But then they're trying to bring up local talent, but nobody really cares about the local talent.
You can do what the Arab world do and just buy up clubs in Europe.
Well, there's also that. But again, it's...
Because no one wants to play in your sand.
It's interesting dynamics of how the European leagues just stay so strong. You know, it's like going back to our conversation about women's cricket the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, you know, you want to support them and you want to kind of get behind this initiative of sport going to further and wider audiences.
Yeah.
But there's no pedigree there. There's no track record of excellence. So it's going to be a very slow and tough...
I hate to say it, but it's kind of like when you watch the Paralympics or the Special Olympics. You know, everybody goes, yay, but they don't really get excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's stop bullshitting ourselves.
It's such an upward battle, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, on to cricket, Gareth. Today, Australia beat New Zealand by 7 wickets in the second test, which now means they go to number one in the world rankings.
Huh.
But this test will be known as Brendan McCullum's last test. He scored a great 100. But unfortunately, Aussie foul-mouthedness and general dickness has overshadowed all of that.
How?
And it will be remembered for this clip I have for you now. Josh Hazlewood coming into Kane Williamson. Let's pick it up there.
Just rock back onto that. Yeah, there we go. You're now on screen.
Third umpire reviewing a call. He's calling it not out. Aussies are not happy.
But now we've got to the stage where the Australians are questioning what's going on the field, and Steve Smith's going to come down here. You can't question him. He is given. You cannot come down and question him and be angry like that.
So as you hear there, the bowler very simply says, "Who the fuck is the third umpire?" In saying, know, "Who is this guy who's not giving
sword,
me
you
my
die
decision?"
By the sword. It's not this man's fault. He gave it not out. You asked. They provided the evidence. He does not deserve a grilling out there. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that behaviour's intolerable.
So they may be the best team in the world, but these Aussies need to learn how to behave at some stage. They need to be, I don't know, they must go on a camp, whatever. So
they need to be civilised.
It was clear, okay, it was a very good shot for LBW, but it was given not out by the on-field umpire, who then sent it upstairs because the Aussies demanded it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shown, there was an inside edge onto the pads, it was probably missing leg anyway, it is not out, simple as that, carry on. No, these guys want to then charge up to the umpire and then the bowler. They just said, like, who the fuck is this third umpire? Like, who does he think he is? He has better judgment. They're using technology. They're using hotspot technology. They're using various cameras. But this prick still thinks he's got it right. So now, in defense of this, the Aussies have come out and saying the stump mics should be turned off so that foul language can't be heard. But they're missing the point. Foul language is what we expect from you Aussies. That is your mother tongue. What isn't cool is how you're taking the game to the level where you think you are better than everyone else. You can't go up to an umpire
right.
and tell him he's crap or just question whatever appeals that they might turn down. It's just ridiculous. And Mitchell Johnson had a tweet yesterday. It's time for stump mics to be turned off. Sure, we've all said a swear word when frustrated. Got nothing to do with that. You guys swear all the time. It's fine. We actually should be hearing more swearing. But you don't swear at people like that. You don't undermine authority like that. And something's going to happen with these Aussies. They're a big three side, so clearly, nothing big's going to happen. Like I said, albeit rather cynically, if this was Pakistan playing yesterday, and that was them acting like that, you would see players banned right now. You would see players walk off the field. This is what happens when people who aren't in the big three kind of get targeted. It's bullshit. I mean, Hazelwood is eventually fined 10% of his match fee, which was just over 2,000 Aussie dollars. Oh, boohoo, that's really going to make a big difference. They need to ban these people. And it comes back to the system of cricket wanting to trial the yellow and red cards. This is a straight yellow card. The guy must go off the field for 10 minutes. And then see how clever he is by asking who the third umpire is. It does get me quite upset because you just know that these guys believe they can do this. This is the whole problem with this whole Aussie privilege, English privilege, Indian privilege. These guys are working on it.
Anyway. All right.
That's my two cents in that, and
don't worry, Ben. I'm glad you always highlight that Australians are uncivilized people.
They are quite uncivilized, Gareth, which is cool. I mean, everyone's got a culture. It's fine.
No.
But that's don't push it on everyone else.
There's no culture when you're uncivilized.
It is, Gareth. It's their culture. We've got to appreciate that, but they mustn't force it onto other people. This is what I'm getting at here.
All right.
Right. In basketball, it looks like the Golden State Warriors are very much honing in on the greatest modern team of them all, the Chicago Bulls 95-96 team. The Warriors yesterday, they got to 50 wins before the Bulls, one less game, right? Now, the Chicago Bulls team was kind of how everyone, if you sort of late 20s and up, if you think basketball, you remember the Michael Jordan era of the Chicago Bulls team. They were so incredible, these guys. They won 6 titles in 8 years. Their record in that star-studded season was 72 wins and 10 losses. So that's what the Golden State Warriors are aiming for now, and it's well within their grasp. They did take quite a heavy beating recently, I think last week, but still, it's such a strong side. So it's one of these things that if it happens, then you're going to be called the greatest team ever. So there's some really exciting basketball in our hands right now. But speaking of in our hands, there is a wrestling champion which I'd like to finish off with, Gareth. His name is Hassan Hawthorne.
Yep.
Now, he's a double amputee, but he just became the Alabama State wrestling champion. So if you think about it, he has Oscar Pistorius legs, okay? They didn't grow from the knee down.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, but rather than killing your girlfriend, what this guy's done is he's actually gone on to be a real hit, and he's an undefeated wrestling champion, and he's about to go into his university part of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, okay, this guy's turning lemons into lemonade. Because you're playing weight divisions, he can kind of be a little bit bigger and stronger because he hasn't got anything below his knees, okay?
All right.
It's not a lot of weight, but there's weight involved. So he is just cleaning up. He's going in there. obviously not deterred by his handicap. On his stumps, he's wrestling. So he's got, obviously, the arms and he's locking these guys in. But he's such an incredible competitor. And the dude is just doing whatever he can to kind of be a success.
All right, well, there
it's
we go.
Such a cool story.
Nice.
Hassan Hawthorne.
All right, and with a name like that, you really don't have a lot of advantage in the world.
Well, not in America.
Hassan Hawthorne. It's confusing as hell. Okay.
That's pretty much it. We've got a huge sporting weekend. We've got Six Nations coming back. We've got the Super Rugby, which I'm going to spend probably the next 12 hours reading about, just so I can tell you exactly who the Jaguares are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know this already, but we're going to get into all the big fixtures. The Lions do play the Sunwolves, the Japanese team.
Sunwolves.
That's the big one for the weekend to look into.
Okay.
That, and of course, tomorrow is the FIFA presidential elections. Now, Prince Ali, he wants to have this suspended or postponed because he doesn't believe in the transparency of the current voting process.
Yes, that's
which
right.
Which just sounds like a whole bunch of horseshit, really.
He wants a non-secret ballot or something?
Oh, he feels it's too transparent. Yeah, I'll get more into that tomorrow on the eve of such an auspicious occasion.
I'm telling you, this Prince Ali, he's full of ideas.
Jafar, you must come and see this.
Make way for Prince Ali.
Clever wench in the old bazaar.
Hey, you!
Let us through. It's a bright new star. Oh, come be the first.
This guy wants to be president of FIFA, right?
Make way, here he comes.
He's even got a theme song.
Are you gonna love this guy? Prince Ali, fabulous he, Ali Ababwa. Genuflect, show some respect. Down on one knee.
All right, you get the basic idea. Hey, Mubs, you were saying earlier that if we all just, let me be clear. I don't partake in weed, but I do think that there are a lot of positive aspects to this. You know, I'm a fan of legalizing this kind of thing, and I think it would calm people down. Seth Rogen is a massive proponent of the substance.
Well, you see, a lot of people take it in a drop form these days.
Right.
I know a guy who has a doctor who gives him weed that he just drops two of them on his tongue and he's good to go.
There we go. Maybe that's the way to do it. But here is Seth Rogen.
Hi, I'm Seth Rogen, and today I'm going to show you how I like to roll my joints. Not a cross joint or Christmas tree joint or anything fancy, just a regular joint that smokes well.
This is an important public service.
Now, rolling joints can look very easy, but in actuality, it can be very difficult, and a lot of people have no fucking clue how to do this. I'm going to walk you through this as though you've never even attempted this in your entire life, just to make sure I don't leave anything out. In order to roll a joint, I use four things. A grinder, a small piece of cardboard to be my filter, a rolling paper, and marijuana. Now, the reason you need a grinder is because when you buy weed, it comes like this, in a bud. And you can't roll up just a bud because your joint won't smoke properly. In order to grind up your weed, you open your grinder, put your weed in it.
I didn't know any of this.
Close up your grinder, and you grind it around, and boom, you got ground up weed. Now, you don't want to grind your weed too much, or else it'll turn to powder, and your joints will be fucked. Rolling paper has two ends. The shiny part is the gluey end. You're going to lick that later to seal up your joint just like you lick an envelope. What I like to do is take my rolling paper and rip kind of a curved edge off the bottom of it like this. I do this for two reasons. One is most rolling papers are too big, and I like to smoke as little paper as humanly possible.
Right.
The other reason is for me it makes the joints a little easier to roll, and you'll see why in a moment. Now, my friends, we're ready to start rolling. What I do is I take these three fingers and I lay them flat. I put the glue end away from me, the torn edge towards me, lay them.
By the way, can I just say that this is the most passionate and the most thorough and the most detailed I've ever heard Seth Rogen on anything. The guy takes this extremely seriously, right? It's incredible. I mean, it's really a very serious thing to him. He takes this very seriously.
I just pictured him, Bill Maher, and Snoop Dogg sitting together smoking.
Well, I'm glad you can see them in your picture in your head, because all I see is a cloud of smoke. Unbelievable.
On my fingers, press my thumb in, and I create what I will now refer to as a small canoe out of my rolling paper.
Look, he small carries on. Canoe. Yeah, small canoe. I mean, the guy, he's very thorough about this. Anyway, you can listen to the whole thing. There's a whole video on YouTube if you want to take a look. I just love the fact that, you know, we don't have to be childish about this in 2015, 2016. And I say 2015 because that was the year that most of the states in America that have legalized weed decided to start selling it. Whole scale.
Wait, what is the actual status of marijuana right now?
It's legal in states like Colorado, Oregon, parts of California. I'm not sure how that works. And there are a couple of others too.
So I feel like this is fairly obvious, but I might be slightly stupid. If it is not legal, does that mean it's illegal? Or
no.
Is it?
It's legal in some states.
Yeah, so for the states where it's not legal.
Then if you get it, you have it on you, you sell it, you're going to be arrested.
If you are found using it?
I don't know. It's
because there's
specific.
So many of these stars who speak openly about it.
Yeah, Bill Maher actually lit up a joint on his show the other day.
In the states that it is legal, there's more to it than just it being legal. You need a card to purchase it.
Yeah, you need to have,
blah,
I mean,
blah.
Like, for example, you go to your doctor says, oh, you've got some, in inverted commas, back pain, here's your card. And you get a card and you can go and buy weed. Anyway, whatever. I mean, you know, I don't smoke the stuff, but I have no problem with it, and I have no problem with people who do. Ben does, though. He thinks it smells of poverty.
Well, it does, but go ahead. I'm saying you must not smoke it.
I just like that description. All right, let's move on. We've got Anthea waiting. Today's the big day. It's budget day. And the bad news is that money you work hard for, they're going to take another 1% to 3% of it today. That's what everybody's saying, is that Pravin's going to raise taxes. In fact, Jonathan Witt says, Gareth, you're very calm this morning for someone who's going to have between 1% and 3% more of his salary stolen by government as of tomorrow.
Stolen is such a strong word.
But it's true. And you know what, Jonathan, that would bother me if I had a salary. But unfortunately, I do not earn money. So.
But also, unfortunately, we don't have a choice.
Yeah,
so
what are you
going to
do?
You're going to be bothered about something you can't change.
Right. And Anthea's on the line to help us understand whether or not the markets will react positively to the news of a tax increase and other information. We don't know what's in the budget yet. Let's be clear about that. But by tonight we'll have some clarity, right, Anthea?
Yes, that's right, Gareth. So the budget speech is at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So by 3, you will know how much more tax you're going to be paying. And it's not just about your personal income tax marginal rate going from 41 to 43 or whatever it's going to be. There's a whole lot of other things, you know. There's the fuel levy as well that I reckon he's going to put up. Sin taxes are going to go up probably again. Mm-hmm. Alcohol, tobacco. While you guys were talking, I just did a quick Google search. In Colorado, last year, they made $70 million in taxation of weed.
Right.
Just, how's that? So maybe we should legalize drugs here.
That's, well, look, if we can make some extra money off of this and Pravin doesn't have to take it from everybody's salary, that would be a good thing.
Yeah. All right. Really interesting, I thought.
I think so, too.
So, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. That is the truth of the matter. But I tell you what's happening in the market. The Rand yesterday traded all the way to 1507.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spoken to a couple of asset managers. I don't think, and so we've all been caught off guard by this. We were not expecting the Rand to be so strong. But I think the general sentiment is that the Rand is not going to stay strong for long. So this morning already it's trading at 15.25, so it's already weakening. And I didn't buy dollars yesterday, so I missed out on 18 cents. But I just don't know what's going on with it. I can't explain why it's so strong. People are really expecting a lot from this afternoon.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been so much preoccupation and anticipation around a budget for a long, long time. Even when Trevor Manuel was doing them years ago, and you know, we'd get excited about tips for Trevor and that kind of thing. Now, I think that the decisions that are made and the promises that are made in this budget are going to have very wide-ranging implications. People are saying it's the most important budget in a democratic South Africa that we've ever had to pay attention to.
Yeah, that is true. It's interesting yesterday, and I don't know what Jacob Zuma was trying to do. I don't know if he was kind of firing a shot across Pravin's Bauer, when he said that David Van Rooyen was the most qualified finance minister for this country. That was interesting. I don't know if that's why the Rand reacted.
You know what it is? The president, he also behaves like a child sometimes. He's been put in his place. It's clear the whole world, including the Chinese president, a whole lot of his own ministers, people within the ANC, business people in this country, everybody said to him, you were wrong about Nene. Firing him was a bad idea. And now he's just going, well, yeah, I'm going to do what I want. And my friend Des Van Rooyen, who's a friend of the Guptas too, is a perfectly qualified guy. It's just a childish reaction. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I did wonder about that. All right. So we'll just let him go off and do what
he's
he needs
a, he's
to
a
do.
He's a child.
So.
Ignore him.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we'll see about this budget. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people kind of demanding things from Pravin Gordhan. I saw yesterday or the day before that the agricultural sector are looking for 12.5 billion rand in drought relief.
Yeah.
And if Pravin puts the marginal tax rate up just by 1%, he's only going to get an extra 10 billion rand. And already he's got deficits. So there are a lot of little holes for him to plug, I'm afraid.
And, of course, the thing that we've really got to do in this budget is cut back unnecessary expenditure.
That would, I think, if I had one wish, that would be it. I really want a moratorium on public sector wage increases. And they've done it before. But before, they've always gone into this, what they used to call the contingency fund. They no longer have that. So maybe this is the year to go, right, enough. No more public sector wage increases, and especially with inflation at 6.2%.
Yeah.
That would make a real difference, actually, to the budget.
Well, that's the only way that we can really start getting things right, is that our income has to go up, our expenses have to come down. I mean, I'm not an accounting graduate, but that's what I understand from the balance sheet. And in order to bring in more income in an economy that's not growing, you're going to have to really cut into people's earnings. To cut expenditure is a lot easier, particularly when we've got so many people on the government wage bill.
Absolutely. And if you are going to increase taxes, unfortunately, it is anti-growth. So people spend less money because they feel poorer, and so you don't see economic growth. So you're right. You're absolutely right. Where we want to plug this hole is through kind of this unnecessary expenditure rather than people's income.
Spot on. All right.
Right. And then a couple of companies yesterday. We were talking about PSG last week and what they had planned for this cash they raised last year. Yesterday, Curro announced that they're doing a 1 billion rand rights issue. Now, you will remember that PSG owns 57% of Curro. Basically, Curro said they're going to do a rights issue to raise a billion rand at 33 rand per share at a ratio of 11 to 1. Because PSG owns this big chunk of Curro, what they probably will do is take up all their rights, thereby increasing their stake in Curro, and that really was the only way for PSG to move that money that they'd raised last year into Curro. Curro said that they were going to use the cash to expand into tertiary education, which I think is quite exciting. So they're going to be offering, they did actually mention a BCom and BSc degrees, mm-hmm. and that they might even work with government in future. So,
But the markets didn't take to this terribly favorably, did they?
No, because what happens is if you're issuing shares at a discount, obviously the share will come down in the short term. It's going to happen. It's not a – I don't think it's a big issue, part of the deal, unfortunately. Okay. I tell you what the market did take well to yesterday, Gareth, was Aspen. They came out with a trading statement. Very brief, actually. Basically, they said that they're now fully divested from the Australian business. Venezuela's not doing that well. But they've had great currency tailwinds, and earnings per share would be up between 32 and 37%. The market loved this. The share was up 9.5% yesterday. And this is, if you remember on Monday when we were talking about the central portfolio, you were saying this is the one share that has underperformed. So we've made back some of our losses on that
share. That's great news. Say. Lovely.
Yeah. We'll hear more about it on the 3rd of March when they release their full results.
Okay, well, that's some good news.
Yeah. More good news, actually. It was quite a good news day, considering. ShopRite also released results yesterday. Group turnover increased by about 9%. Earnings were up, dividends were up, margins were better. All in all, a fairly good result. I think ShopRite, for such a big company, they really are very flexible and efficient. They really have just gone out and said, we have to do whatever we have to do. This is a tough economic environment. Things in Africa are not going so well. We will do whatever we have to do to retain market share. And that's what they did. You know, they kept their prices low. They've managed to source good deals. The share was up 4.5% yesterday. It was a nice surprise. You know, ShopRite is a difficult one at the moment because of the Africa expansion that's not going so well and because of where the South African consumer is.
In retail, have we had any major changes since the last time we spoke? You said that the only share that you'd really want in retail is probably Woolworths.
I'm going to stick with that. Sarah Shaw likes Foschini Group over Truworths. I am not that excited about being in the clothing retailers at this stage. I'm going to stick with Woolworths, yes.
All right. Very good. Anything else you need to tell us?
No, that's it. I'm going to prepare myself for this budget. Oh, tomorrow Tamsin's in. She'll be in studio to talk about the budget. I'm having post-budget breakfast with Pravin in Cape Town.
Oh, well. It's very important people like you who get to go and spend time with Pravin. Mm-hmm.
The real one, not the new age Gupta breakfast, can I just say.
No, hasn't that been cancelled?
Yes, the Gupta breakfast was cancelled. I'm going to the real breakfast.
All right. What are you going to ask Pravin?
Oh, I don't know. It depends on what he says today, actually.
All
it
right.
really does depend on what he says today.
Thank you, Anthea.
Pleasure, and we'll speak on Friday.
Cool. Very good. There we go. It's Anthea Gardner, the Money Shot on Every Day. And tomorrow we'll be joined by Tamsin, but back on Friday, Anthea can tell us about her meeting with Pravin. Weed is illegally, federally making it complicated in the USA, says Maxine. Making it legal, obviously, is now making it complicated. And ask Anthea about how legal weed could improve our weed like Colorado. Well, she kind of came up with the tax angle. I don't know that Anthea knows a huge amount about weed otherwise. I won't assume. And Supernova says, Ben, what is happening to Yuri Rue? Why has he not been fired yet? That's the guy who embezzled a whole lot of money that was meant to go to the university.
I think he's blatted his way into a position where they can't fire him, and it looks like Oregon Hoskins might actually be thrown out as like a scapegoat.
You're joking. So he gets to keep the millions?
Well, yeah.
Wow.
I'll get into that tomorrow, actually. It's just a sickening story. It's just so typical sports administrators being dicks.
But that's corruption 101.
Yeah.
There's a scapegoat, you get away free, and you keep the money.
Exactly.
Someone else goes to jail for you. By the way, speaking of that, Shabir Sheikh had a rant on Facebook the other day where he said some friends, he obviously means the president, throw you under the bus, and then when they don't need you anymore and they found someone else to be their benefactor, brackets the Guptas, that you know where loyalty comes from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, a guy like that looking for loyalty, come on.
And also, Mr. Sheikh, you got away mildly with...
Oh, no, he goes on in this rant about how he had a stinking cell and mosquito infested and his life was shit.
It could have been worse where he ended up playing golf on some days and,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, Ben would love to be sentenced to whatever Shabir Sheikh was sentenced
to. Yeah, I want his prison sentence if I ever get full foul of the law.
Yeah. Hey, quickly before we get into the next hour of this morning, here's a look at what's going on today. Between 9 and 11, it's Frankly Speaking with Rorisang Chabalala and Andrew Levy. You know that's going to be an interesting show. It always is. Animal Central between 11 and 12 with Ainsley Hay. Animal Training is what they're talking about. And then Womandla with Pumi Mashiko is on at 12. Eating Disorder Awareness Week. Did you know about that?
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. It's a real thing. Pumi puts a spotlight on young and old, male and female, who suffer from eating disorders, often in silence. She's joined by the organizer and facilitator of this awareness campaign, Lisa van Veek, who's also recovering anorexic. Then it's Auto Central with Vilmarie Janssen-Rensberg, George Meany, Chad Lukoff. It's powered by Auto Trader. What happened at the first regional at SWATCorp? The team will fill you in. Then they'll look at the future of the automotive industry with Ricardo Kutsia, managing executive of Automotive, from telematic devices to future vehicle apps, self-driving vehicles, and everything else. They cover it all. I'll tell you what, if you say you're a petrol head and you care about cars and you don't listen to this podcast, you're missing out. You've got experts. You've got valuable insights. You've got commercial implications of trading in vehicles. You've got everything that you could possibly be interested in. Auto Central between 1 and 2 with the team. Then it's 2 to 3, the football show with Nandi and Durag and Theo and Elif and Joao. And they're going to be looking at the FA Cup, the big Champions League clash. between Arsenal and Barcelona, and taking final predictions for the FIFA elections. That'll be fun to listen to. The Capital wrap-up with DJ Capital is on from 3 to 4. DJ Capital will be joined by all the controversies, current affairs, and the hip-hop fraternity. And then you know Kelman on Cliff Central. Aria Kelman, do you know where he is right now?
He is in the UK.
That's right. He's on a. He's probably on a plane right now still. Has he landed yet, Flax? Do we know?
He left last night, let's say around about 8 o'clock. Isn't it 9 hours to get to London?
He's flying first upper class, sorry, Virgin upper class with Virgin Atlantic.
Sure.
He's going to the Brit Awards. He's got like front row tickets to watch Adele, Justin Bieber, The Weeknd. Who am I leaving out?
Rihanna.
Oh, my God.
Which Ari keeps saying that he's going to be BFFs with by the time he gets back.
Wow. No, we don't mess around here. And Aria Kelman will be representing CliffCentral.com at the Brit Awards, baby. Exciting stuff. I think that must be really fun. I mean, Adele alone, right? It's like going to church.
Coldplay is also going to perform there. But this is the thing. You know Coldplay's besties with Beyonce.
Yeah.
They performed at the Super Bowl together.
That's right, yeah.
So there's sort of like whispers that Beyonce might pop up on stage as well. Now that I'm really envious about. Adele, give or take. Justin Bieber,
really?
Give or take. Coldplay and Beyonce. Yeah. Now I'll really like
it. I saw the Super Bowl thing. I wasn't blown away. Sorry.
Have you seen the new music video for him for The Weeknd?
No.
Okay. You need to watch that.
I don't
like
Coldplay. I wouldn't go and see Coldplay.
Really?
Nah.
I watched the Work music video with Rihanna and Drake after Flex Flex said it was hectic. Yes, it's not. I mean, come on.
Admit it's 2 minutes of just dry humping.
No, but you made it sound like it was watching porn, and it's not. It's just Rihanna, you know, doing sexy moves with her sexy body on top of a sexy Drake.
When Drake's up against the wall and he's basically pelvic thrusting her from behind?
I don't know. I wasn't shocked by it. I was expecting to see something really risque. Standard practice for music videos these days.
I'll just have to say, this has truly scarred Michael Flex, hey? Like, you went the whole day speaking about this. He'll just go silent, then go, wow. Serena and Drake must really be over now. So I'm like, sweet. Dude, like, move on.
Do you know Aria also goes to the Brits after party? Now, you know, at the after parties where you get close to the celebrities, there's no fences, there's nothing.
Mm.
You can legit, by mistake, just bump into Adele and have to apologize for tipping.
She goes, oi, what are you doing? Oi, do you mind not elbowing me out of the way when I'm trying to get a drink? Piss off, you nonce.
He can be talking to someone, and next minute The Weeknd's talking to somebody else behind him.
All right. We got lots to talk about. Richard Skates says, the Daily Maverick show yesterday was insane. Those stories about priests abusing kids was too much for me.
Yeah.
Did you hear it, Mubs?
Yes.
Wow. That Daily Maverick show is also must-listen stuff. I've got to catch up on that one myself. All right. Lots to do. People to see, places to go, things to talk about. The news coming up next. CliffCentral.com.